Welcome into another great edition of Strong Style. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York, and actually I'm okay. It may sound like I had a hernia right there, and I'm not making fun of people who have had those. Those suck. But I'm just so excited. I am super excited to be here. Super excited to talk MMA, pro wrestling. There is so much going on. Might as well just say combat sports. Because before, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to totally, not really flip the script, but it's my show. I'm going to change things up. How am I going to change things up? I'm going to start off by updating you on the latest from the big money fight coming up in Atlanta in a couple weeks between Jake Paul and Ben Askren, put on by Triller. By the way, I'm figuring out this Triller and TikTok thing a little bit. If you get a chance, go find me on there. See my latest video. I had a bro trip up to Midtown. Played some Top Golf. That Top Golf will humble you. It you don't necessarily your normal golf skills don't really apply so much here. You got to figure out the new system. Had one buddy who is probably more skilled at golf than the rest of us, and he had some beautiful shots that were just not scoring points, and when they did, they weren't the big points. I had one buddy that probably had been 15, 20 years since he swung a club. He did okay. I think he did a pretty good job. Myself, actually, my brother was one of the people that went to. I kind of started to follow my brother's lead. He had been to a Top Golf before, and I started to notice that he's found these little shots, and he is just nailing it and racking up points. In the last game we played, I figured that out. Was able to come out on top, and trying to think, maybe about the second game, I think, is when the video was shot. But we're going to try to do some more fun videos like that. Got some fun stuff coming up this weekend. We will talk about on later shows. But for now, let's talk about the Jake Paul-Ben Askren Triller fight. It was going to be Antonio Tarver versus Frank Mir as the co-main event, sub-main event, however you want to say it. The non-Jake Paul-Ben Askren fight on the card. By the way, there are going to be tons and tons of other fun things going on at this particular event. It's not just a couple boxing matches. Let's see if I can get it to come up on here. There are little mini concerts. It's loaded. It's loaded. They are bringing out the big guns. We'll put it that way. But, like I said, it was supposed to be Frank Mir versus Antonio Tarver. Well, the Atlanta Athletic Commission has some rules set forth about fighting and how you would necessarily qualify. And as far as that goes, Antonio Tarver, I think you had to fight within the last 10 years, or you had to have 10 fights in the last 10 years, something like that. He fell just short of a couple different things, so the Atlanta Commission says, can't allow it. So that's unfortunate for Antonio. I know he was looking forward to it. But Frank Mir needed an opponent. Who did they go out and get? Steve Cunningham. Steve Cunningham, look it up. He's got some boxing fights under there. This is going to be maybe a little closer contest than I thought. Tarver might have a little bit of an advantage in the boxing world, even though Frank Mir can stand and deliver when he needs to. But yeah, that is now the second fight on this card: Frank Mir versus Steve Cunningham. I think it's going to still be fantastic. Steve may not be as big a name as Antonio Tarver, but he's going to be just as big a threat to Frank Mir. And I look forward to this. Like I said, we are trying to see if it fits in, if we can make some stuff work. We'll put it that way. We are trying to see if we can make it work to be there. I think it is a must-see event. And, just some big things coming. Big things. Now, like I said, I'll get into wrestling in a minute. Let's talk some UFC. Let's talk UFC 260. Some of the big moments. Marc-Andre Barrault with the KO of Abu Azatar. This was on the pre show. It was the only fight, and it was really good. I enjoyed it because it happened. Marc-Andre Barrault was losing this, and with 4 seconds to go in the fight, he laid him out. He just laid him out with some hammer fist to the chin and showed that you never know what's going to happen till the end of the bell. Abubakar Nurmagomedov. I'm working on it. He had the unanimous decision over Jared Gooden. This was a good fight. Man, it was a good fight. I enjoyed watching. Went back and watched it the second time. Miranda Maverick with the unanimous decision over Jillian Robertson. Miranda's now to 11-2. She is a force. Not because she's 11-2. She's a force because she's beat people like Jillian Robertson, who is no slouch. Women's flyweight, man, that's going to be a fun division. Sugar Sean O'Malley with the KO of Thomas Almeida. It gets Sugar Sean back in the win column. He still got a little bit to go, I think, from coming back from that injury, but Sugar Sean looked good. Shout out to him. And I'm going to kind of get into it as we talk about this here. The sub-main event, Tyron Woodley loses by submission to Vicente Luque. Luque's a hell of a fighter. He's had a great calendar year with some big victories and big wins here and there. Tyron Woodley, that was the last fight on the UFC deal. He's lost the last four in a row. He's admitted that he kind of got caught up in the fame and the Rolexes and the things like that. I could see that. What everybody keeps failing to realize, to mention when they say all that, is I very much think that he got distracted because he was on The Rock's show, Titan Games. He was one of the regional titans, and he had a pretty good showing on there. But if you got time to film shows, then you're probably not training and working out. And maybe he didn't have a fight going at that particular time. But even on the show, it seemed like he was a little distracted. But, great win for Vicente. He's going to move on and do some great things at welterweight. And I'm not going to say that even Tyron Woodley, who is 37, 38, 39 years old, I don't think we've necessarily seen the last of him. Now, have we seen the last of him in UFC? I wouldn't count that out either. I feel like I could see him signing a one- or two-fight deal. It is not going to be for the type of money maybe he was making. Maybe he should realize that particular thing. Or maybe he wants to get into something else. Maybe those things that were distractions, maybe he wants to get into them now. Doing the shows like Titan Games, doing, maybe he wants to get into acting or woodworking or shipbuilding or who knows. Maybe he wants to be a trash man. I don't know. But whatever Tyron Woodley does, I think he's going to be successful in it. And even with four straight losses, to say that Tyron Woodley is not considered one of the best welterweights in the last handful of years is just disrespectful. Good luck to Vicente for sure moving forward. Good luck to Tyron and whatever he ends up doing. I feel like we're going to be mentioning him on this show sooner rather than later. And then we get to the main event. We get to the main event, which is going to kind of stir up something on me here. Stipe Miocic gets dropped, and the KO, TKO victory goes to Francis Ngannou. People say that maybe it was the 30 pounds that Stipe was given up. I don't think so. People say different things here and there, and as soon as he beat Daniel Cormier in the trilogy fight he just had to retain the belt, in September, October, we crowned Stipe one of the best heavyweight fighters of all time. Some people say it even the best. And then he loses to Francis Ngannou in the second round, and all of a sudden everybody wants to write it off, just like they tried to do a couple years ago. And, congratulations to Francis Ngannou, who is now the heavyweight champion. That makes three current champions that are from Africa. Which is a feat all into itself. I said Francis Ngannou obviously is what's the other one? I think Aljamain Sterling maybe was the one I was thinking of. I can't remember, but there are three that all hail from Africa. And that is just exceptional. That's showing a little bit of a change to the times. And the weird thing is I would say that Africa is not even the hottest or the hotbed of where all the new talent's coming from. All these Dagestani guys, man, woof. They are rolling them out like machines. It just, bam, here's one, here's two, here's four more, here's six more, and they are hitting hard. But back to Stipe. We've all been in these situations where somebody around you gets a little worked up, gets a little mad at you, maybe, for something that really was not much of what you could control. Maybe you did or didn't react to something the way they thought and perturbed them a little bit. I think Stipe's in that boat. And it's like this. We wanted to crown Stipe as one of the greatest ever, possibly the greatest ever. In the heavyweight division, and which is not in his control. All he can control is his career, which is what he did. How is he not the poster man? How is he not the poster man for just being so full of class, doing everything the right way, even if it's not what made the best? Maybe it's not what the fans always wanted. Things like that. Everything Stipe has done, he has done just true blue by the book, straight up, And we crown him as one of the best ever. And then the first thing some people want to do is immediately write that off and write Stipe off just because he loses in the second round to Francis Ngannou, who is one of the better fighters on the planet. That's on us. That's on us. And we have to do better, for one. But we have to do better. Stipe, everybody's like, well, is he done now? What? He just lost a fight. Can we let him go home? Can we let him go be a firefighter, be a dad, be a husband for a few minutes? And I'm pretty sure he's got fights left on his deal. I'm pretty sure Stipe still wants to fight. As far as who makes sense for Francis Ngannou, immediately everybody knows John Jones is supposed to get it. Well, John Jones is trying to posture and play the game. He came out the other day, and pretty much from the time Ngannou won, said he wanted his release because if he wasn't going to get paid big money to fight Ngannou, then he would rather just take his ball and go somewhere else. Let me just put this out there. John Jones is not afraid of anything. Is he afraid of Francis Ngannou? I don't think so. If he is, he's doing a good job of hiding it. John Jones, I would be willing to bet, is not afraid of anybody outside of some deity he believes in. I don't want to get into his religion because I don't know what his religion is, so I'm just going to put it that way. Whatever higher power he may believe in, he may be afraid of them. He's not afraid of anybody on this earth. So what is he doing? Well, he's trying to get his money. Francis Ngannou has even kind of backed him up and said, yeah, John should get big money to fight me. I should get big money, you know? So we'll see who backs down between the UFC or John Jones. They call each other's bluff or whatever. Because something John should realize is just because he is scheduled to be the next opponent does not mean that he's the next opponent. Now, what you guys are saying? Well, if not John Jones, everybody's been saying John Jones for the last 8 months. Last 10 months. Oh, he's coming up to heavyweight. He's going to get the title shot. And all. Well, then who? I don't know. There's a couple. Francis Ngannou, of course, could take on Stipe Miocic as the trilogy fight for them. But I think it's too soon. I think he gives Stipe some time. The obvious choice, in my opinion, if not John Jones, is Derek Lewis. Because a lot of people say, why not Curtis Blaydes? Well, Derek Lewis beat Curtis Blaydes. That's why. And the last person to hold a victory, to put the L, to help Francis Ngannou have three losses in his record. The last recorded loss was from Derek the Black Beast Lewis. A lot of people thought it was Stipe. It was not Stipe. Stipe was before that. Francis Ngannou last lost to Derek Lewis. I think if John Jones is going to posture, then if you're Dana, you give him a timetable. You say, hey, you have till, you know, obviously don't do it now. This is short notice. But you get with John on a Friday and you say you have till next Friday to at least pencil in this fight. We'll talk terms. And I understand, you know, Dana's going to try to make a fair deal and all that. And I understand John's trying to get his money. I'm not saying John shouldn't get the payment. You know, the pay for this. I'm just saying, if you're the UFC, you have options. Stipe, Derek Lewis. I think it's pretty much your options at this point. Because I don't think Ciryl Gane is quite ready, and Alexander Volkov, that's the other in the top five. Yeah, it's between Stipe, Derek Lewis, or John Jones, in my opinion. Now, UFC is off this week. The next one they will be at, the next big fight will be Fight Night on the 10th. I think they are working on a main event for that because Marvin Vettori is in. But because, I wrote it somewhere. Where did I write it? There it is. Darren Till suffered a broken collarbone in practice, so that fight versus Marvin Vettori is not going to happen. And this is the card that's going to be on ABC and ESPN+. So I'm sure they're going to find Marvin Vettori a new opponent in the middleweight main event there. I don't know. Hopefully somebody big. Let's see. Middleweights. You had five versus six there. Gosh. If not Till, we know Costa, I believe, is going to probably get the next fight. Maybe see if Whitaker or Cannoneer or Derek Brunson want to fight. Or Jack Hermanson. Jack Hermanson. I believe that'd be a rematch with Marvin Vettori, who Marvin Vettori got the big win over him, I think, last time and stopped the Joker's big run up. You know, it just depends. If you're Vettori, I think Hermanson, maybe even Gastelum, you don't want to go much lower than that because this was supposed to be an up fight for you. So, I don't know. There's some other big fights coming up on that. The other big news, of course, is UFC 261 is going to be in Jacksonville. This is a payback for Jacksonville helping the UFC keep going during the pandemic when they were there before. 261 is April 24th, headlined by Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal in the welterweight title fight main event. You got Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas. That's the title fight for the women's strawweight. And in the women's flyweight title fight, Valentino Shevchenko against Jessica Andrade. Holy crap. Let me get to the fourth match. Uriah Hall versus Chris Weidman in the middleweight. Anthony Smith versus Jimmy Crute. Those are all the pay-per-view ones. Alex Oliveira and Randy Brown are going to fight on ESPN. There's just fight after fight after fight. Those are all on ESPN2 and ESPN. Bunch of big ones there. That's April 24th. On May 15th will be UFC 262. Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler for the lightweight heavyweight fight. And let's put that to rest right now. The Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor fight. Why is that not the title fight? Because it's not. Because Dustin got the he got the option. This is widely known now. He got the option. Do you want the money fight with Conor? Do you want the title potential title fight when Khabib turns it back in? He said, "Give me Conor in the trilogy." So Dustin took the money fight, the big money fight, and I think that was the right choice. That was the right situation. So if you're Dana, also Charles Oliveira definitely needed to be in the title fight, and Michael Chandler makes a lot of sense. So I have no problems there. Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz. That's Nathan Diaz. I'm calling him Nathan Diaz from here on out. He told Errol Hawani that's his name. Nathan Diaz versus Leon Edwards. Tony Ferguson versus Beneil Dariush. Shane Burgos, Edson Barbosa. There's Jack the Joker. Hermanson is going to take on Edmund Shabazian. I mean, this is just loaded. Loaded. As they always do. But those are the big things going on there. Gosh, we are half our show is going to be talking about fighting, and that is awesome. So, not to be outdone, Bellator is back. Bellator is going to be this weekend. I'm stoked. I know you're stoked. I'm going to have to catch a replay because I'm going to be actually out at something else, at an event covering it. But I will also be following along. Who knows? I may do some updates in between things there. Bellator's back. They got their Grand Prix coming up. I talked about some of their matchups last week, which, none personal, but for you guys who thought I was going to go match by match on all the pro wrestling stuff this week, no, I'm just going to talk about some of the bigger stuff. But hopefully this will come up soon. I just had it pulled up is the bad thing. Actually, let's see. Yeah, I do know on April 9th at Bellator 256, you are going to get Kat Zingano taking on Parker. That's going to be fun. It's always good to have Kat back. Why is this not pulling up? This is great radio at this point. But we can do it one more time, see if it'll pull up. But anyway, I know Pitbull is fighting. There it is. There we go. Now, let's go through some of the bigger fights here, because there are some names that you're going to be like, holy crap. Like, where's the one? Roger Huerta taking on Chris Gonzalez. Magomedov is going to take on CJ Hamilton. Yep. He's one of the Magomedovs. That's going to be just ridiculous bantamweight fight right there. Main card. Alejandra Lara and Kana Watanabe. Man, those two girls are going to, that fists are going to fly. Tyrell Fortune versus Jack May in the heavyweight division. Usman and Nurmagomedov is going to take on Mike Hamill. Neiman Gracie, the welterweight standout at 10-1, is going to take on Jason Jackson at 13-4. Man. It's going to be fun. It's good to see Neiman back. It's good to see Jackson back. And in the main event, as part of the Flyweight Grand Prix title semifinal, whenever this goes to the final, yep, that's how that works, Patricio Pitbull is going to take on Emmanuel Sanchez. These two have fought before. It's going to be fantastic. If you're going to have a giant card, I think that's the one to have. You got Patricio Pitbull, Emmanuel Sanchez, Jason Jackson, Neiman Gracie as your headliners. That's like saying we're going to have a summer concert series and we're going to have U2 and Metallica. I can't even think of big pop acts. Name your favorite pop act. Name your favorite. Jason Aldean's going to be there. Whoever, the biggest, baddest people out, that's what they're doing. It's going to be fantastic. I absolutely can't wait. Bellator's back. UFC's back next week. There's so much going on. I just told you about Frank Mir's new opponent, Steve Cunningham. Wow. Welcome to halfway into the show. Let's talk some wrestling. They're really trying to build up Bobby Lashley on Raw, and I really enjoy that. It's because they kind of snuck him in with that title win, and now they're trying to make him look a lot more legitimate, which he's Bobby friggin' Lashley. If you don't think he's legitimate, you kind of hadn't been watching. But, you know, they've had him against Sheamus. They've had him against Drew. He's going to face Drew at WrestleMania. I'm not going to spoiler alert for what happened this week, but he is on more of a singular path. And like I said, I think he is due. I think he is due for, he's due for a big WrestleMania moment. And I'm glad they have built him up the way they have. I think him versus Drew is the best match they could come up with for the way they did it. And Bobby Lashley moving forward, there's a fresh set of opponents for him. And I think it's going to be great. We finally have a new fresh face at the top. And like I said, it's Bobby friggin' Lashley. The Almighty, as they call him. Here's the thing. A lot of people say this should have happened many, many years ago. I am one of those people. This should have happened many years ago. But since it didn't, he goes to Impact Wrestling, builds up, becomes a... He goes to Impact Wrestling, builds up a little bit. He fights in Bellator. He does some other stuff on the side. I think he charges up and he makes the holes in his game better. The things he needed to button up, he buttoned up. So that his latest run in WWE has been fantastic. And it makes sense for him to be champ. I like the Hurt Business, but he doesn't need the Hurt Business. I can see MVP. Maybe I'm doing a little spoiler alert here, by the way. But at the same time, Bobby Lashley, enjoy your run on top, sir. Enjoy your run. I think it is way too soon for Rhea Ripley to be in a title picture, especially versus Asuka. For one, you're kind of shooting your shot early and wasting it, because hopefully she doesn't beat Asuka. I understand the stuff going on with Charlotte as to, you know, now COVID and there's all kinds of random things that have happened, and Andrade's factoring into it. But I guess on short notice, they needed somebody with some hype to be at WrestleMania. So maybe Rhea, because you beat down everybody else. But it just, I think you could have done better. I'm not sure who, not sure how. I think he could have done better. Miz Bad Bunny, I like it. For one, if anybody is going to help make Bad Bunny look good, it's kind of weird to say it that way, or to make this a legitimate, fantastic moment, it's the Miz. He is the unsung hero, the all-star, the MVP, not actual MVP, but the one of the most valuable players in the WWE for all that he does do. A lot of things nobody ever sees, ever hears about, ever knows about. Just kind of quickly, some of the other stuff in Raw. Whatever they're doing with Shayna and Nia, it looks like at some point they're going to break them up. Okay. The Reginald stuff, it's once again, the women's division has become cannon fodder. And, like, cannon fodder in the aspect of, like, confetti cupcakes. They're just, I don't know. It just makes no sense. And the other thing on Raw, the Shane McMahon, Braun Strowman, they announced this week what kind of match they're going to have at WrestleMania. I don't get it. They're going to have to pull some kind of crazy loophole, because I don't think it's going to come off well without some other stipulation added to it. NXT, they continue to build Raquel Gonzalez as she's going to take on Io Shirai for the championship at some point. Like I said, I think this is going to free up Dakota Kai to maybe get called up after WrestleMania. That I'm excited about. Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly. If you thought Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano beat the holy hell out of each other a couple months back, wait until you see two guys that have seriously been friends and together their entire careers. Karrion Kross, Finn Balor is Take My Money Now. These are two guys that are on a collision course. I think Kross is gonna take the title from him. But they're really building it up in a fantastic way. What was the other big thing? Having Walter and Jordan Devlin back from England is definitely going to be a fantastic thing. It looks like Devlin and Escobar, thanks to HBK, are going to be in a ladder match to unify the cruiserweight titles. Once again, take my money. These are two of the best in the world. Not even cruiserweights, two of the best wrestlers in the world. I would almost say have a finish where they both end up with a title or something. I don't know. How do you take a title from either one of these guys? That is just exceptional. You go to SmackDown. You're going to get Daniel Bryan versus Roman versus Edge at WrestleMania. That makes it sound to me like they are going to move the title off of Roman. Now he doesn't have to be in the decision, doesn't have to look weak. He can immediately get his rematch. That makes me think Edge is going to win. And I don't know if it's because he had to surrender the title when he gave it up a couple years ago. When he had to quit. Well, he didn't really quit. When he had to retire. But they're really just botching this whole Edge return, just left and right. It just continues to prove why it might be the third best show that they have. Rollins Cesaro, I think, is going to steal WrestleMania. These are two of the best wrestlers on the planet. I know I use that term a lot. These are two of the best wrestlers on the planet. Cesaro is looking for his leg up into the main event. Seth Rollins is going to be that leg up. It's great that he has decided to work with him like this. And this could be a post-WrestleMania feud. These two are just incredible. And they match up really, really well. I think even though they're trying to build up Apollo, and I think eventually they're taking the title off of Big E, so maybe he can make a title run. I don't know. It's starting to become repetitive what the two of them do. It is what it is at that point. Another tag team shuffle they have going on SmackDown, even though it includes some good people. You know, Alpha Academy, Street Profits, the Mysterios, Dolphin and Robert Roode. They're all good quality people. It's just, here we are repetitive with a multi-person match. It might even be a ladder match for all we know, or some kind of random who knows what. Impact Wrestling, they actually had some decent matches this week as far as good quality, like really good matches, but none of them meant much of anything. Deonna Purrazzo beat Jazz, we knew that. TJP beat Ace Austin, become the new X Division champ. We kind of saw that. Even though it was good to see Ace win it at one point. Rahit Raju continues to be on a roll. He beat Fala Ba, but so was everybody else. AC Romero took on Trey Miguel. That was a good match. You look and don't think those two would match up very well. It was really, really good. Both those guys can really work. And then the main event was Eddie Edwards versus Carl Anderson. People always think Carl Anderson's just a tag guy. You are sadly mistaken. He went toe-to-toe with Eddie Edwards, probably out-wrestled him, actually out-skill-wise him. But Eddie gets the win on that one. AEW, we had Omega versus Matt Sydal. Matt Sydal, one of the greatest mechanics, flashiest mechanics, even though he loses to Omega, because you can't Omega lose. Page took on Hangman Adam Page took on Cesaro Bonini, who they are trying to build up, and yet they have people run over him all the time. It's kind of weird. I think he's taking on Moxley coming up soon. But Hangman Page in the Dark Order, that is one of the best storylines in AEW right now, in my opinion. The whole, he's kind of business acquaintances with them. He hangs out with them. They really think highly of him, but he's not in Dark Order. I kind of like it. At some point, I think he'd be full-fledged in. But right now, just keep the dating phase, so to say. The MJF group is calling themselves Pinnacle. Of course, that is MJF, Shawn Spears, FTR, and Wardlow. A couple of them had a match versus the Varsity Blondes and Dante Martin. Of course, Spears, FTR won that one. But that Pinnacle group, man, that, like I said, this, I stand corrected. You know what? Pinnacle, let's see, Page Dark Order is the second best storyline in the company right now. Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle is my favorite. Maybe because I like all the wrestlers. But either way, looks like CT Marshall and Cody are going to kind of get into it once Cody is healthy. He was in a sling this week. Pentagon. Rey Fénix and Laredo Kid all had a big match versus the Young Bucks and Brandon Cutter. Laredo Kid, very, very good. To hang out with Fénix at Pentagon, you got to be pretty good. He is fantastic. Kind of interesting the Young Bucks lose a match, but it wasn't them with who got pinned, so that was something. And Tay Conti with a big win over Nyla Rose. That just tells you what they think of Ty Conti is, and that Nyla would help her out like that and do the job. And of course, Hikaru Shida and Bad Bunny come down. They're kind of making a little bit of a melee out of it, but good for Conti. That is a fantastic and great win. Ring of Honor. You had Mike Bennett, who got the DQ win over Beer City Bruiser, who is trying to, he's kind of doing this solo thing right now. It's kind of weird. But, you know, understandable. Do something a little different. There was a Pure Gauntlet. It was won by Fred Yehi, or Yehi, however you want to say it. Had Wheeler Yuta, had Eric Martin, world famous CB, Will Ferrara, and Dante Caballero. Basically, it looked like a Pure Gauntlet that allowed them to feature two or three of their up-and-coming recent graduates from their academy. And I think it was good. Plus, we got to see Will Ferrara. We hadn't seen him in a long time. So that pretty much catches you up with all of that. Real quickly, as we are obviously going to go home to. Impact Wrestling is going to move to Thursdays here soon. I do not have an actual date. And NXT is going to move to Tuesday as part of the Peacock deal that the WWE has struck, which is fine. So that means we're going to get Monday Night Raw. That's Mondays. Or Raw on Mondays. Tuesday is going to be NXT. Wednesday is going to be AEW. Thursday is going to be Impact Wrestling. Friday is going to be SmackDown. Technically late Friday into Saturday, depending on your syndication and what channels you get, will be Ring of Honor. And if you catch Azteca or New Japan or anything like that, they are on the weekends as well. But that's going to do it for us. Appreciate you guys tuning in to another amazing edition of Strong Style. Man, there's so much to talk about. We're going to get out. We're going to go on and get out of here. We're going to go catch up with some other things going on, and we will see you guys next week. Deuces, gooses, go watch wrestling.